Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name's Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of May 3rd, 2018. So, last March, at the local Environmental Action Conference that was held down at Northeastern University, co-sponsored by the Massachusetts Climate Action Network, we had the good opportunity. Mariah Tinger and I had the good opportunity to bump into a gentleman named David Meshulam, who is starting an organization called Speak for the Trees in Boston. Speak for the Trees Boston is an urban tree organization that connects communities and people to space through planting, stewardship, outreach, and the arts. Very interesting proposition that David has. So let's take a listen and see what he has to say.
Before we go on, give me, what's your first name anyway? What's your...
David?
Meshulam.
M-E-S-H-O-U-L-A-M.
Okay. And you're, so we're, of course, we're at the MKing conference, and you are with, what's your hope?
So I have begun... trying to found a nonprofit in Boston called Speak for the Trees. Mm-hmm. And our hope is to create an advocacy group that connects people to their neighborhoods and brings people together through trees. And we see that as a crucial component of any climate resiliency plan as we enter an era of severe, not only climate change, but weather pattern changes. Boston today, for example, is flooding, and one of the reasons for
the second 100-year flood of 2018.
And one of the reasons for that, of course, is because of climate change, but another reason is because our city has too much impervious surface. And when we have these major storms, these major precipitation events, the water has nowhere to go, so it just builds up. Trees mitigate that. Trees not only break up the pavement, but actually are really good sponges for slowing down the rate of water into the sewage system or into the water system by either absorbing water or just having water on the leaves. Uh-huh. And then slowly over 24 hours, the water drains down. So they can not only soak in water, reduce the pollutants that are going back into the water system, but they're slowing down the entrance of water into the
For some reason, you're reminding me of my childhood, because the Boy Scout manual said, never set up your tent underneath a tree, because if it rains, it was going to drip on you for the next 2 days.
There you go. Exactly.
Exactly. What you're saying is true. Yeah. How do the trees connect to the social, the interaction of people? Is that another aspect?
This idea grew out of what was happening in the election and the sense of real community fracturing. Right, people not having spaces to connect or not having spaces to have conversations. And I believe that trees actually, if you do it right, get people out of their homes and have them connect to their neighborhoods, take ownership over their neighborhoods, take pride in their neighborhoods, get to know their neighbors. So one of the things that that drives the organization, my vision around it, is not only climate resilience, that trees provide, reduce urban heat island effect, that reduce asthma rates, but the sense that they actually build social resilience, right? That neighbors get to know each other, that neighborhoods band together. So you get to know the woman down the road who maybe doesn't come out of her house so often. So when there is a heat wave, you know to go check on her, mm-hmm. right? Those types of things that people get out of their homes, get off their phones, and connect over neighborhood spaces.
So tell me, if someone was interested in helping out, what website should they go to? What's the procedure to attract people that, I see you have an I Love Trees badge on. What should people do?
So right now we're very much a nonprofit startup. So we've been at this for, my colleague and I, Amanda Rich, have been at this for about a year. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to build capacity. We're trying to find out, we're still sort of on the listening tour part of our formation. We're trying to figure out who the other players are and how we might collaborate with them and partner with them. Our website is SFTTBOS.
Now, this is very reminiscent of the Lorax, right?
It is. We are based on the Lorax. Oh, okay. SFTTBOS.org.
I'm back to my childhood again.
Yeah. Or speakforthetreesboston.org. Uh-huh. Our handle is at SFTTBOS. We have Facebook, we have Instagram and Twitter and all that good stuff. And we're always looking for people who either want to volunteer or want to partner or want to help us in website design, fundraising, building capacity. We think that this is an opportune time to get... There used to be organizations like this in Boston. In the past 5 or 10 years, they've all disappeared. They've withered. So we're sort of trying to resurrect that.
And can you just tell us again about how you said almost every city in the country has an urban...
So when I started thinking about this idea about a year and a half ago, I sort of thought I was a little losing my mind.
On the outer edge.
And then I found this organization in L.A. called Tree People. That does this. I thought, oh, that's pretty cool. LA does it. And then I decided to go to Wikipedia and find the 25 largest cities in America. And I downloaded the list, and Boston's like number 24 or 25 on the list in terms of population. And I went city by city to figure out which city had an urban tree nonprofit, which didn't. And out of the 25, top 25, Boston was the only one that didn't, other than Phoenix. Even cities that are smaller than Boston, like Worcester, Massachusetts has the Worcester Tree Initiative. Springfield, Massachusetts has one. Baltimore has one. So Boston is the outlier. And there's we're missing an opportunity. I see this. There's money that can come from federal grants, from national corporations. And Boston just doesn't have an organization that can apply to those grants and redistribute them and create capacity.
So you gave us your vision. How do you plan to get to that vision?
We're working on our strategic plan right now. So I don't have a 5 to 10 year strategic plan that I could share with you. But we have 2 or 3 initiatives that are helping us get there. The first one is we're trying to coordinate with undergrad environmental groups in the Boston area to help us develop a street tree inventory. So we're using an app called Open Tree Map. And what we're doing is we're developing a process and a protocol where we can train volunteers in the community to go out and collect data on trees. And we're looking for 4 major things. First, where is that tree? Second, what species is that tree? Third, how big is that tree? And fourth, what condition is it in? We hope to share that data with the city. We hope to make that data accessible to the public, and we hope to use those data so that we can then figure out where we need to go next. Our second project is to work with organizations to do outreach in the community, often through, we're hoping to partner with an organization called Artists for Humanity that works with youth in Boston to do public art, and we want to create opportunities where kids sort of reimagine their neighborhood as green spaces, and we're calling it Reimagining Green, or Imagining Green. And the chance for kids to go out and find those spaces where trees aren't, but could be, and then create art installations that bring people together to sort of reimagine their urban spaces. So those are 2 major things, other than the whole back end of like creating infrastructure, right? And trying to figure out what a board looks like and all that other stuff that goes into this. And making sure we're developing smart coalitions and not stepping on toes. But our goal Boston has a goal by 2030 as part of their climate action plan to reach a 35% tree canopy coverage. Right now they're at about 25%. That's going to take about 100,000 new trees in the ground. They actually had that goal under Menino to reach by 2020. They've pushed it off by a decade because of many reasons, but one of the reasons is they don't have a partner to work with. So that's our theory of action.
I think that's great. Thank you very much for taking the time to chat. It's fascinating.
Please, thank
you. I'm glad you're here at the Local Environmental Action Conference 18. Great. And so thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
So there you have it. Speak for the Trees, Boston. I thought it'd be fun to end with a quote from Dr. Seuss and the Lorax. It goes like this. Catch, calls the onceler. He lets something fall. It's a trueful seed. It's the last one of all. You're in charge of the last of the trueful seeds. And trueful trees are what everyone needs. Plant a new trueful, treat it with care. Give it clean water and feed it fresh air. Grow a forest. protected from axes that hack, then the Lorax and all of his friends may come back. So you can check out links to most of what we've discussed at the blog. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog. Of course, you can find links to this on Facebook at /massclimateaction. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using any one of a number of podcast distribution apps. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the reckless policies of the new administration not be accepted as normal, and that the United States put a long-term and equitable price on carbon. So thanks for listening in. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.